You have your Bible lesson to Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 to 6. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. And Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 to 29. Okay, I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 to 6. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Okay, then we go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 to 29. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughter. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our works and toils of our hand because of the crown which the Lord had cursed. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that your hand be upon the hearer of the word of God. God, I pray that you stop the rain for a while, that we can listen to the word of God. And I pray that you just anoint me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, I'm going to title my sharing this morning, Four Generations of Blessing. Four generations of blessing, okay? Can we look at the first Exodus chapter 5, Exodus 20, verse 5 and 6, okay? And you look at verse 6, okay? And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. The word thousands in verse 6 means generations. Because of the Hebrew parallelism with the passage that is in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 9, it says this: Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his commandment and his loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandment. Father, anoint this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and 6, and Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, they are the same. That's why I did not read to you Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. They are the same, word for word, text for text. And it is, they appear in the Ten Commandments. More accurately, under the First Commandment. Okay, if you study properly, Exodus 20, 5 and 6, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, they all come under the first of the Ten Commandments. They appear in the Ten Commandments, and more accurately, under the First Commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. Okay, who are the them? It's a reference to idols. It instructs of our relationship. Okay, it instructs us of our relationship to this world we are living in. Okay, it deals with God's stance on idolatry. Okay, not to worship or serve any created image or false god. God is always a jealous God. He demands loyalty and will not tolerate spiritual adultery. That means he will not tolerate idolatry. What is an idol? An idol is anything that takes the place of God in a person's heart, life and worship. In the Bible, it often refers to physical images or objects that people worship as gods. Wow, this one is really heavy. I know that there's a typhoon, okay? Philippine area of responsibility. I heard that it exited and it caused a lot of rain in Hong Kong and it's moving towards China right now. So I was praying that there's no rain today, okay? But it is saying that another typhoon is around Philippines. You know, when we hear it, when you hear of such rain, okay, it brings a lot of fears, afraid in our life, okay? But because we are, many of our houses, okay, in the Philippines, they are not made of concrete, they are made of nipa, okay? But What I'm trying to say is that God says that you shall have no idols in your life. What are the modern example of idols in our life? Money. We trust wealth more than God or security. You understand? We trust wealth more than God and security. For us, without money, we can die. I've seen billionaires that they lost everything and they commit suicide. Okay, money is very important to them. Okay, without money, they are finished. Then success or career. Your identity and your purpose revolves around your achievement. What if you did not achieve? What if you did not, you are not successful? You become discouraged, you become depressed. Okay, then social media or image. Approval and attention means more than God's view of you. Okay, what people think of you is more important than what God thinks of you. Okay, what God thinks of you is actually more important than what people thinks of you. Family and children, when they become more important than obeying God. Okay, right now in Singapore, you know, I was reading this Sunday Times about mothers. They are moving houses. They are shifting. They are transferring houses. They are buying and selling another house so that they can move to a location where their child is in the school that they want the child to go to. Okay. Where they become more important. Children and family are more important than obeying God. Religion. Okay, I mean, you look at the religion, our country. It is religion where the rituals and the church traditions are worshipped instead of God Himself. Now, these are things that are idols in our life. You know, Warren Buffett, he said this. He said, you know, he's one of the richest men in the world. He said, what is the most important thing in your life? He used one word. Love. Love. He said, it is not how rich you are, how much money you have, is how many people love you when you die. When you die, is there anybody that loves you? They are so sad over you, your death. So these are the things that in our life that we have to understand. They are the idols that are wrong in our life. And God is a God. God is a sovereign God. He will not allow you to have anything you love, trust, or obey more than God. So what are the positive and negative consequences? Exodus 20 verse 5 and 6 tells us that the negative is visiting the iniquities of the father onto the third and fourth generation. Visiting the iniquities of the children onto the third and fourth generation. Okay, it's not saying that God will punish innocent children to the third and fourth generation. It's saying that the children, because they follow the father, who are their ancestor, who are rebellious, who are worldly, who are not following God, and they themselves partake of the rebellious life and not following God, that's why they are suffering the curses. Then what about the positive? What about the positive? The positive is God showing steadfast love to those who love me to a thousand generations. Okay, in this, it contrasts up. When you are under the curse of God, it's to the fourth and third and fourth generation. But when you are under the love of God, it is to a thousand generations. The blessing of God is to a thousand generations. Am I correct? His love far outweighs His judgment. Most of us are under the cursed generation. Let's be very honest. We are under the cursed generation because of our forefathers. I mean, I look at my own life. Okay, I'm not born in a Catholic country. I'm not born in a Catholic family. I'm born in a Buddhist, Taoist family. I mean, my life was really hard. To be very honest, very hard. It was a life without God. It was a life without knowing who is Yahweh. And my father was a gambler. He never bring home money at all. Okay, he earns a lot, but he never bring home the money. Just imagine, like many of your husband, many of your father, they never bring home the money. They use the money for other things. And if you ask your father to help you to finance your tuition, they will say, no, I'm not going to do it. My father was like that. And there were 10 in my family. It's a big family. I have 4 brothers, I have 4 sisters. And my mom has to have 2 jobs. I remember my mom has to go to KFC. You have KFC right nowadays. In the morning and in the afternoon, she has to go to a hawker center to sell porridge and to sell noodles. She has to have 2 jobs a day for 20 years until all of us grew up to be able to work. My mom single-handedly raised 8 of us. And it was torturous. How we pulled through during that time, I cannot understand. I only can remember my mom pacing the floor of the house constantly, wondering where is the next money going to come for my family. Why the curse? It's a cursed life. Because we were, my family, we were worshipping idols. Okay, there was a kitchen god in the kitchen hall. There was a god in the main hall. There was a god in the main hall. And in the front, in the gate, the door to our house, there was another god that we have to worship, that god. And my mom will bring me to a medium. And I become the adopted child of this medium. That's why I became demon possessed. And my mom would be so desperate to look for help from a god. And she would bring me to Novena. She brought me to Novena. I don't understand why my mom bring me and not the rest of the family members. She will bring me to Novena. And all of you understand what is Novena as Catholic. Where you will pray for 8 days. For a certain needs to be answered. For a special petition for 8 consecutive days. To tell you how we pull through those 20 years. I tell you, I don't know how we pull through. I really don't know how we pull through. I remember the days of my life when we would eat, there was only porridge and you pour the dark sauce. You just pour the dark sauce. But then I came to know God. I came to know God. I came to know Jesus. The curse in my family started to be broken. And now it is individual responsibility. The principle of individual responsibility is found in Ezekiel chapter 18. It is stated in Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 is a powerful chapter on individual responsibility before God. I became the first generation that can change subsequent generations. Many of you are also the first generation when you step into Eventual Tabernacle. And the church want to tell you that you can change subsequent generations. There's an old saying, children suffer because of their parents' sins. Then God said, no. God said, no. In Ezekiel 18. In Ezekiel 18. Because of Jesus. The curse was broken because of Jesus in my life. The curse can be broken because of Jesus in your life. It starts with you. It starts with you. You become the first generation. The phrase, to the third and fourth generation, is a curse declaration. But likewise, it can also be a blessing declaration, which I'm trying to share today, that expresses a hope that positive action, my accepting Christ, my character lifestyle, and the legacy of ancestors, our accepting Christ as our personal Savior in our life can benefit future generation. Can benefit future generation. Its success, it suggests a belief of the lasting impact of choices. The choices that you accept Christ as a personal Savior can have lasting impact. A positive inheritance. This concept is rooted so well in the Bible. If you understand the Bible very well. Rooted so well that discusses the action, the consequences of action, positive and negative, extending through generations. The concepts originates from passages like Exodus chapter 20 verse 5 and 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 9, chapter 5 verse 9 to 10, which mention God visiting the iniquities upon the children to the third and fourth generation, but also showing love to thousands of generations of those who love Him and keep His commandment. It starts with you. The concept highlighted generational impact. What you do can have generation impact upon future generation. Whether it is good or bad, can have a lasting effect on our descendants. You love your children a lot, right? You love your grandchildren a lot. It can have an impact and lasting impact upon your next generation. What is the positive inheritance? Which is what I'm trying to share this morning. The motive of my sharing this morning. The desires for blessing, which we all desire, refers to the hope that future generation will inherit positive traits, opportunities, and a favorable environment because of the good deeds and the wise choice of us, the ancestors. You know, I to be honest, I really started to notice this on my children in the second generation. I also believed it will happen to the third generation, to Noah, to Elise, and another child that is coming this 2026 February. They are the third generation. I'm beginning to see the blessing coming on. The phrase carries a sense of responsibility, emphasizing the importance of making choices today that will benefit those who come after us. This morning, I want to share from example from the Bible, four generations that escaped judgment, how it started and how it ended, to encourage us to take up individual responsibility, to encourage you to remain faithful, to walk the ways of God, to follow Jesus Christ. How this fourth generation is an example, and God put it there for us to learn. Number one, Enoch walked with God, the first generation. Enoch walked with God, the first generation. Genesis 5:23-24. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. The people during Enoch's time, they lived close to 1,000 years. Not like us, okay? Very few people exceed 100 years. But they lived to close to 1,000 years. So they became father also at a much later age. Okay? Enoch became a father at the age of 65. Okay? I'm 64. Next year I'll be 65. You just imagine at your age you have to start to have a child. But Enoch, during those days, they are that way. After that, he walked with God. And he walked with God for 300 years. Very interesting. He walked with God for 300 years. I became a Christian at the age of 17. And started walking with God. How about you? I'm asking you, when did you become a Christian? When did you start really walking with God? When did you become a Christian? The Bible said that Enoch walked in a close relationship with God. And he was raptured. At the age of 365. Rapture refers to a time where an event, a believer in God, is caught up, taken away to meet him in the air. Enoch was carried away or taken away by God to go meet him in heaven. Walk with God, because he walked with God. Walk with God speaks of a true, deep relationship. You know, you cannot possibly walk with a person whose existence is not known to you. You understand me? You cannot walk with somebody whose existence is not known to you. Is God's existence real to you? Or God is just a thought? God is just an idea and not someone that is real to you. When you walk with a man, when you walk with someone, you know that he's there. You can hear his footfalls. You can hear. Even you cannot see his face. You have very clear perception that there's such a person beside you, at your side. Is God like that to you? No, is God like that? Or God is just a thought? God is just an idea? Or God is real? God is there. God is here. God is real. If God is that to you, then you are walking with God. If I wish to find a person, most familiar friend, okay, let's just put it, best friend, it will surely be one with him he walked daily. Am I correct? The best friend are those people that you walk constantly with. In walking, friends become communicative. You become communicative. You know, God is such a wonderful God. He's not just your savior. Yes, you have to respect him as God, but he wants to be your friend. He wants to be your friend. He wants to communicate with you. Or you don't communicate with God at all. When you walk with God, friendship is communicative. One tells of his trouble, and the other strives to console him under it, and then imparts solution. Impart secrets in return. Impart secrets. Is that God? You pour out your hardship, you pour out your pain.
God listens to you and God shows you the secret. He imparts to you the secret and He gives you the solution to solve some problem. That was what happened to Enoch. I hope that is what happened to all of us. Walking with God means walking by faith, not by sight, by faith. Walking in the light, walking in holiness, walking in righteousness, walking in righteousness, and walking in agreement with God. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Walking in agreement. Walking in agreement. What happened? He did that. Then God took him. God took him. Very interesting. God took him. A very remarkable experience. Perhaps he was taken up in a visible manner. Probably all the patriarchs were there. I want you to think carefully, okay? I want you to imagine all the patriarchs were there. And they saw him depart. Even as the apostle saw Jesus depart, 500 people saw Jesus went up to heaven. If these 500 people can see Jesus go to heaven, what makes you so sure that these people, these patriarchs, these descendants of Enoch did not see their great-grandfather or their great-father went up to heaven? Taken up. The event was some special rapture, some distinct taking up of a choice person. And this person was Enoch to the throne of the Most High. I want to encourage you, walk with God. Some of you may have the privilege to be raptured one day. If Christ come. If Christ come. Can we have this picture? Enoch. Taken up. The patriarchs below. Seeing their father, great-grandfather, went up to heaven. I want to encourage you. You walk with God. You walk with God. Don't let people discourage you. Don't let friends discourage you. Don't let the people of the world discourage you. Walk with God. If you walk contrary to God, He will not walk with you. He will walk contrary to you. He will walk against you. Think of the next generation. You really think of the next generation. You love your children a lot, right? Think of the next generation. Think of the next three generations. Walking together implies amity, harmony, peace, friendship, intimacy, love. And this cannot exist between God and a soul unless that man is acceptable unto God. You know what's the beauty of it? Enoch missed the judgment. No curse. No God visiting the iniquities upon the children under the third and fourth generation. Enoch did not see the curse of God upon the third and fourth generation. Fulfilling Exodus 25 and 6. Enoch, the first generation, was spared from the judgment. Because the judgment came 669 years later. I just told you that during those time people lived to 1,000 years. And Enoch was spared because it took place 669 years later. The first point that I'm trying to share with you is walk with God. We are the first generation. We started this church. And many of you came to this church. And you become the first generation. And I encourage you to continue to walk with God as the first generation. Second, Methuselah. Live a long life. Second generation. Methuselah. Live a long life. Second generation. Genesis chapter 5, 22-27 says this. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Methuselah was mentioned because Methuselah took upon himself the responsibility of walking with God. The name Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall come. When he is dead, when Methuselah died, it shall come. At the birth of Methuselah, Enoch had a special awareness from God that judgment is coming. Sometimes something happened to you, and that thing caused you an awakening and telling you, come back to God. I do not know. Sometimes it is an incident, it is a circumstances, it's an event, and the event will cause you and tell you, come back to God. That was what happened to Enoch. Noah was not the only one informed by God of the coming flood judgment. Enoch was also informed. Jude said that Enoch was a prophet. He prophesied concerning the flood judgment. It was the flood judgment that got Enoch to wake up and walk closer with God. May we be like that. But Enoch saw into our days. Jude 1:14 says, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly. Enoch saw the second coming of Jesus Christ 5,500 years ago. Only 500 years after Adam and Eve time. Imagine, he saw 5,000, tremendous faith of this man. You know, faith is, you can see into the eye, into the world, into the vision. The substance are not there. The evidence are not there. But you can see. Methuselah was born when Enoch was 65. Methuselah was 300 years old when Enoch was taken up. I believe it had a big impact on Methuselah. Your life, your godly life or your ungodly life, will have a great, great impact upon your children. We were talking about one of our sisters. Pastor Lily was talking about one of my sisters. She stopped going to church. Because she stopped going to church, the children also stopped going to church. Methuselah saw his father. Methuselah's father is Enoch. He saw his father went up to heaven. Maybe Enoch told his children, that he's going to heaven. He's going to be taken up. Like Elisha and the disciples of Elijah, they knew that Elijah is going to be taken up. Remember, the disciples said, do you know that Elijah is taken? I said, keep quiet. I know he's going up. So I'm just following him. See, he was following him. He was following Elijah. Enoch told his children that he would be taken up. So all the children of the patriarch gathered in Enoch's house. I'm just giving you an example. Most likely they were in the house. They were for there for maybe weeks or maybe days or months. I don't know. Then finally they saw him taken up to heaven. They saw him taken up to heaven. It has a tremendous impact upon Methuselah. Tremendous impact. Methuselah died at the age of 969. He lived a long life. He lived a long life. I believe one of the reasons he lived a long life was because he was living rightly. He know what is living rightly, walking with God. The first generation already impacting the second generation. And the flood came when Methuselah died. He also missed the flood. He died, then the flood came. He was blessed and not judged. Same thing. Methuselah's death marks the year of the flood. When he died, it shall come. It will mark Methuselah's entire life as a countdown to Methuselah leave. The flood is coming. The flood is coming. Now he's 600 years old. The flood is coming. The mercy of God is, I extend again. You live 700. God said, I'm merciful to the generation. I will extend to 600. I will extend to 700. I extend to 800. I extend to 900. It's a countdown of the tremendous mercy of God to human. It's a countdown to the judgment. It is a living prophecy. Methuselah became a living prophecy. Because the day he died, the judgment will come. Methuselah is significant biblical figures of the extensive age, extreme age, and the timing of his death, which is tied to the coming of the flood. The uniqueness of Methuselah was his long life. The longest living human being, even until today, is still Methuselah. 969.
the oldest man on earth. Do you have a picture of that? The oldest man on earth. Until today, is still Methuselah. Methuselah's long life is not an accident. It talks about the tremendous mercy of God towards humankind. Why you say, why Jesus is not coming back? Why is it really 2,000 years? I want to tell you one thing, because he want all to come to the salvation of Jesus Christ. When you walk with God, you have long life. God told Pastor Lily that she will have a long life, and I believe it. One of the blessings of a child of God is long life. God kept Methuselah alive longer than anybody. Another reason I say just now is to give as long as possible for people to repent. The long life is a picture of tremendous God, the tremendous patience that God has. You know, I don't know how to explain to you. This year is really a year where I begin to understand God more. Maybe as you grow older, you become to understand God more. I begin to understand the tremendous love of God for human being. The tremendous patience that God has for human being. Methuselah's longest life is symbolic of God's extraordinary patience with human sin. You know, I want to tell you right now, if you ever miss heaven, and you say, you cannot say that God is unfair. I can tell you this right now. I can tell you this right now. Because He has given you the most extraordinary patience for you to repent, for you to walk with Him, for you to get back to God. Methuselah represents how God delayed judgment and give people time to repent, just like today. Jesus' return has not yet come so that more people can be saved. Number three, Lamech, a story of redemption, the third generation. Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he calls his name Noah, saying, "This one will give us rest from our works and from the toils of our hand arising from the ground which the Lord had cursed." Do we have a picture of that? That is Lamech holding up Noah and saying, "This one will give us rest from our work, from the toils of our hand arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." Methuselah lived 595 years and he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah was 777. I want to tell you, the longest living being, the 777 being. All this has tremendous significance. And he died. Lamech's father was Methuselah. Lamech's grandfather was Enoch. Lamech saw Enoch went up to heaven when Lamech was 113 years old. See what you do, the second and third generation will see. They will see, I'm telling you, they will see. You know that when Meme is in trouble, you know she always runs to Pastor Lily. "Mommy, can you sozo me?" Yeah. Then after Pastor Lily sozo her, Meme say she will try to sozo Daryl and ask Daryl, "Is there anything? Why you have sinus? Why you have sinus in your life?" "Oh, I have sinus in my life because I'm very angry with my child Noah." "Jandala, why you are angry with Noah? He's your son." "Oh, because he prevented me from having long sleep. I cannot sleep properly after I have this son." No, but the thing is that what you are will have a tremendous impact on the next generation. I believe that Lamech idolized Enoch. I believe that Lamech will, because he knows that his grandfather Enoch is a very godly man. And I believe that he will always run to the house of Enoch to look at Enoch, and Enoch will play with him and dote on him, and Enoch will pray for Lamech and say, "God, bless this child." Like all grandfathers will do. All grandfathers will do. I'm just giving you an example which I think is possible. There's a possibility that Enoch doted on Lamech as most grandfathers did. I also believe that Enoch prayed for the grandson.
Methuselah fathered Lamech at the age of 187. Lamech died at the age of 777. He died before the flood. See, no judgment also. No judgment. He died 5 years before the flood. He died a natural death. He didn't see any judgment. Lamech was spared from the flood judgment. No curse, no God visiting the iniquities upon the children under the third and fourth generation. No such thing. It didn't happen to Lamech. Lamech's name, the name Lamech means strong, youthful, warrior, conqueror. The Arabic word for Lamech is a very powerful man. A very powerful man. The blessing of walking with God from the first generation to the third generation is starting to take effect. It's starting to bear fruits. It's starting to become fruitful. 7-7 means perfection. Your long years of faithfulness to God is never forgotten by God. You know, God will say what? You are faithful to me. I'll bless your son. Yes, you're faithful to me. I think I'll bless your grandson. I'm telling you right now. It's starting to take effect. This is what God wants us to be while here on earth. This is who we are. When you accept Christ, okay, Lamech represents the redemption of the Lord. The year of redemption has taken place. The perfection, 777, the time for blessing, the time for divine blessing has come. That's the meaning. It means the redemption of the Lord has arrived. You know, I love the song. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, says the Lord. You know, I shared with you that 2025, which is this year, is a year of redemption for Pastor Billy and I. Very interestingly, Jen gave birth to a son and he called the son Noah. Very interesting. We never expect her to call the son Noah. I shared with you that a lady prophesied over us that this year would be the year of redemption. She said when she gave this word of knowledge, her hairs on the arms stands. We will be redeemed. We will be redeemed from the great tribulation. We will be redeemed. We will redeem what we have lost. We will redeem what we have lost. God has not appointed us to wrath. Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah did not go through the flood judgment. Noah was protected in the flood judgment. You serve God, you'll be protected from the great tribulation. Enoch's, Lamech's life is a story of redemption. It talks about, let's just walk with God. I just want to tell you, walk with God. Don't withdraw. I know life is difficult. Don't withdraw. Just walk. There are people, as long as there are people in this world, there are pain. Do not let them cause you to go to hell. The word for seven, Hebrew word for seven is Shiva. You know what is Shiva? Shiva means, is a word for oath and covenant. Just two words are so powerful, oath and covenant. You know what's the meaning? God will be faithful to keep his oath. God will be faithful to keep his covenant with each and every one of us. Yes, God will be faithful to keep his oath to you. God will be faithful in his covenant with you. Seven is the number of completion and perfection. God completing, God blessing us, and God said the time of blessing, the time of redemption, the time of my divine blessing has come. The year of redemption. Levan means the day of redemption. 777 emphasized, the 777 emphasized the ideas of the highest degree of the promise of redemption, of the oath of God, of the covenant of God. It's a symbol of God's sovereign work to redeem us from this present evil world. Elamech called his son Noah, which means rest, a resting place. You will rest from your struggle. You will experience redemption. Methuselah saw his father, went up to heaven, it strengthened his faith. Lamech saw his grandfather, went up to heaven, he was encouraged. He was so encouraged to live a godly life. He's so different from the other Lamech. So different from the other Lamech, which was his contemporary. The Lamech from Cain. So they both are contemporary. There were two Lamech during that time. Both are contemporary. One walked with God. The other lived a rebellious life. A very worldly life. A very wicked life. He became the first person to have sexual relationship to more than one woman. Polygamy. And he became the second person to commit murder. The first person to commit murder was Cain. He followed the footsteps. That's the meaning of generation curse. He followed the footsteps of his great-great-grandfather, Cain. The second murder was committed by this Lamech. It talks about the Lamech that is in the house of God and the Lamech that is in this world. The Lamech that is in this house of God experienced a day of redemption. The Lamech that is in this world is a rebellious people, a perverse people, a people that is wicked and perverse. When you walk with God, maybe not through you, your children will witness the life of redemption, your grandchildren. God will restore the years that the locust has eaten, the palmer worms has eaten, the caterpillars has eaten, the great army which has sent among you. God sent the great army, the destruction because of this world, to inflict pain, suffering, curses to the world that has become so perverse. Why did we come to God in the first place? Because the world is so perverse. Because our life was devastated. Why do you come to God? Because your life was... The devil has destroyed the life of your family. The devil has taken away someone. The devil has put sickness upon another one. And the devil has caused trauma in your life. Your life was devastated, destructive. Loss and judgment because of your sin and your parents' sin. But then God promises redemption if you continue to walk with Him. God say, I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change it. You'll be totally different. Through Lamech, we see God redeem lost times, lost years, the years of pain, mistakes. Yes, some of you have made mistakes. I want to tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy to you. God says to you right now, I've forgiven your mistakes. Don't always be guilty bound by your mistakes. I've started a new life for you. You just continue to walk with me as you have been doing right now. God said, I'm pleased with you. Don't let the mistake of your past bother you. Just walk with me. Just walk with me. Just walk with me. This is a prophecy, okay, for someone. I don't want to mention the name. Redemption is not just material, but emotional, spiritual and relational. Redemption means God's grace and mercy can bring back abundance. Bring back abundance upon your life. The day of redemption, that is the Lamech. Okay, this is the Lamech of Cain, the second murderer on earth. You just imagine the person here and the person there, they are so different. The holy will get more and more holy. The wicked will get more and more wicked in this world. Number four, the fourth generation. Noah, hope in the midst of the curse. The fourth generation. The man lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now we call his name Noah, saying, this one will give us rest from our works and toys, from the toys of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed. This earth is cursed. I just want to tell you, this earth is cursed. The Lamech named his son Noah, means rest, comfort. The world we are living in is a cursed world. Cursed world. When you look at Noah, you say, Noah, I look at you. When I see you, I know that God will bring comfort. God will protect us from the curse of this world. And God is protecting us from this cursed world today. We can have hope in the midst of the cursed world. There can be rest and comfort in the midst of the cursed world. Lamech, when he see Noah, he expressed that Noah will bring relief. God will bring relief. Jesus will bring relief for us, even though Adam has sinned. There is an awareness of the burden of sins that is in this world, which Noah saw. Noah saw. But there is also the hope for deliverance. You want to understand the life that was in the time of Noah. Jesus mentioned about the days of Noah, the time, the environment, the civilization that was in the day of Noah. He said that there will be spiritual blindness. People were living normal life, eating, drinking, marrying, unaware of the coming judgment. I mean, people love to eat. No, they say that Iloilo City is a gastronomy city. I don't really think so. But the meaning is that people love to eat. You know, recently I really miss Linaga, because I went to Negros and I was in this place. Okay, and I saw this store. I tell you, the best Linaga I have ever eaten. And I come back, I'm always looking for that taste, same taste. Then I asked Pastor Lily to make. Then still not satisfied, I went to the Haro, you know, the cathedral there, to eat that Linaga. People will do anything for eating, marrying, drinking. Unaware, just oblivious that there's a second coming of Christ. There's a judgment that is coming. You know, you cannot think that way. You understand? You continue to live like that, you're no different from the people of this world. No, I'm telling you right now, you cannot say, oh, I live my life, I don't care, I think of my family, I think of this, I don't care what people say, I just want to give the best to my life and to my children's life. I want to tell you something. You are no different. You are eating, drinking and marrying. Lack of repentance. The people are full of violence, full of wickedness, but people ignore God's warning. No, you heard about the plane in that crashed in India, am I correct? You heard about the plane that crashed in India. It was said that there were two pilots, and one pilot switched it off. Switched off the two engine. And the other one said, why you switch off the engine? So he tried to start the engine, but it's too late. Then this guy was trying to miss it could have been worse. He diverted the plane to a better place so that he didn't kill so many people. But everybody died except one guy. And you were trying to find out why did the plane crash? You cannot switch off. You cannot. It's not automatic. Do you understand me? You have to have dual mobile action. Okay, you have to turn this and do another. I don't know, but there must be two actions to cause you to switch off the engine. And it is believed that one of the guy was the culprit, the pilot. And it was said that the days before his mother died, and he has to take care of the father, and he's not married. I think, I don't know, but he's not married, he has no children. Maybe he was too discouraged, or he was too down, or whatever. He just don't care, he just bring the plane down and kill everybody. This is wickedness. This is wickedness. Sudden judgment. Just as the flood came suddenly and caught the people unprepared, Jesus' return will catch you unprepared. I want to tell you right now, okay? I want to tell you that no matter what, you're just a human being. You are just a human being. I can only tell you that I can see the tremendous love of God upon you. Tremendous love. Tremendous patience. So please, remember there is a judgment. But for the generation that walk with God, there is hope in this world. In the midst of the second coming of Christ, in the midst of the curse of this world, in the midst of the coming judgment of this world. While waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ, God will bring relief to all of us from the suffering. Caused by the curse of this world. The world is filled with hardship. The world is filled with labor and frustration. A result of humanity's fall. But Jesus Christ will become a source of comfort or a turning point in human suffering. Through Christ, God will preserve us and make a covenant with us. In the deeper sense, no one will be